While we're transitioning this morning, you want to find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to continue in our study this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and if you'll go down to verse 4, we're going to pick up right where we left off last week. If you weren't here last week, that's okay. We're glad you're here today. And I just want to give just a real quick recap just to kind of give you an idea where we are while everybody's transitioning. We've been going through and talking about the Lord's return. All right, so we did part one, we had part two, we are in part three today, just going through the book of 1 Thessalonians here in chapter 5, specifically talking about the hope of the resurrection and what we have about God coming and sending Jesus back to get his bride and his church. But also, we've talked about it 3 weeks in a row, discussing the Lord's return. We've seen that it's going to be one of the most phenomenal events, or the most phenomenal event that has ever taken place on earth. We've seen that it's going to be the most awesome and powerful event that any human eye has ever witnessed. Jesus told us that. Jesus said that just like the lightning flashes from the east to west, everyone will see when the Son of Man returns. So far in the study of 1 Thessalonians, we've seen that both the blessings of God will come on that day, but also the judgment of God will come on that day. True believers, those who are Christ followers, will experience the full blessing of God, while sadly and tragically, the unbelievers who refuse to accept the gift of salvation that Jesus and that God gave us when he sent Jesus to die on the cross, they will face the judgment of God for their sins. If you remember, in the very beginning of chapter 5, we saw that we shouldn't try to figure out the day or the hour, right? Paul said, quit trying, this thing shouldn't concern you, okay? So if you're a true believer, you know that Jesus said not even the Son himself, only the Father knows, the angels in heaven don't even know when Jesus will return. So don't waste your time arguing about it or trying to figure it out or knocking over music stands. He said, don't worry about figuring out the day or the hour. Don't worry about that. Instead, he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, instead we should live like we expect it to be today. It's just that simple. So to look for it, live for it today instead of trying to figure out when the day and the hour is. Well, what does that look like? What does it look like to live like we're ready? What does it look like to be a Christian? What does God expect from us until Christ returns? All right, well, how are we supposed to live? What does it look like? That's exactly what our text is going to give us today. So let's read, and Paul's going to spell it right out. One of the many things that I love about the Word of God, it never gives you a problem without the solution. Amen? It never gives you a command without how to get there. It never gives you a promise without fulfilling it. All these things, the Bible doesn't leave it open-ended and say, be ready for Christ, but good luck figuring it out. God gave us all that. God gave us all that right here in his word. So let's read chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4, and we're going to go all the way down to verse 11 today. He says this, but you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. Remember, last week we talked about it, how it's going to come like a thief in the night to so many people who weren't prepared. He goes on to say this in verse 5. He says, for you are the children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and night. So be on guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Some translations say, be sober. Night is the time when people sleep and the drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and by wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we will live with him forever. So encourage each other. Build each other up, just as you are already doing. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your word, and we just pray a blessing over this next time as we go through your word. Lord, I just pray that you would work in our hearts. Each one of us have came in here on a different spiritual level, a different walk with you, dealing with different struggles of this world. Whatever it is, and maybe we've read through the Bible 100 times, or this is our first time stepping into church, and we feel like we don't know any of this. Lord, I pray that we would allow you to work in our heart. You know what each one of us need. And so, Lord, I just pray today as we go through this, as I attempt to go through your perfect and eternal word, Lord, that you would just make something of it for eternity. Lord, we want transformation this morning in lives for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So within these first eight verses that we just read today, all right, within just these eight verses, he gives us at least. Now, I say at least because some Bible scholars in the room or somebody might have picked out something that I missed this week, but I'm going to point out at least. It's not saying it's the only thing. It's not saying it's the only way you can apply it, but this is what's on my heart today. Four duties that he gives the believer right here, right now. All right, he gave it to the church in Thessalonica, but the word of God is for us just like it was for them. And so he is going to give us, if we want to know how to live our life, if we want to know what a believer looks like, what our life looks like, he's going to give it to us. Number one is this. A believer's duty is to not be in the dark. He says it very plainly. Number two, he's going to say this. The believer's duty is to not be asleep. We talked a little bit about that last week, but we're going to talk about it again today. Number three, he tells us this. The third duty of a believer is to be sober and protect themselves. And number four, a believer's duty is to minister to others. And he tells us to minister to others by edifying them, building them up. That's our purpose. So let's get right into it this morning. Y'all ready? Oh, wow. Okay, we got somebody. Let's go. All right, we're ready this morning. Let's look back at verse 4 and 5 with me as we get started. I don't know why I like doing that sometimes. It's just fun. Wake us up a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says this. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are the children of the light and the day. We don't belong to the darkness of night. So here's number one, right? It's a believer's duty to not be in the dark. All right, and if you're a believer, if you are a Christian here today, if you are a Christ follower, you are not to live in the dark. The scriptures tell us very plainly and clearly when we are born again, we put our faith in Christ, we become children of God. We just sang about it. I am a child of God, okay? So why would a child of God have to go hide in the darkness? And to be a child of God is to be a child of light. The scriptures are full of it. We no longer live in darkness. What does it mean to live in darkness? I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you this morning. Number one is this. To live in darkness, and this is just what's on my heart today. Two things. To live in darkness means that you're ignorant about the day of the Lord's return. We talked about it last week. The day of the Lord's return, when it says the day of the Lord in the Bible, it's talking about him coming in that final judgment. For an unbeliever, that's somebody who's ignorant of the day of the Lord. It's somebody who hasn't listened to the gospel, somebody who hasn't given God any part of his heart or life or their life. That's going to be an awful day. That's to live in darkness. A true believer has heard the gospel message. They know about God's judgment against sin, but they also know that Christ will come back to gather his bride, those who have accepted the gift of salvation that he gives us so freely. But they also know that he will judge those who refuse to repent and turn to him. Therefore, no believer should ever be in the dark about Christ's return. Think about it. We have the Word of God. We just read it. We have it. Was it 66 books? All compiled into one where there's no discrepancies, different authors, all these things. Did you know that the Bible is the number one best-selling book of all time? Not just this year, not last year, not just their generation, all time. Did you know the Bible is the all-time most stolen Bible of all times? Huh? Oh, book. Yes. There might be a reason for that. I talked to the youth group a couple weeks ago about that. There might be a reason why it's the number one best-selling, why people will go in and steal the Word of God. They will go steal a Bible just to read it because they know they need it. Think about it. We have the Word readily available. We can study it anytime. Eddie talked about it in his prayer, and he was talking to the Lord about it, thanking the Lord for our freedom that we have. Christians all over the world will tear out one page of the Bible and go and read it in the darkness, and then they'll trade the pages because they're not allowed to have a Bible. We have everything, especially here in this country, that we need. We can study God's Word right here and not be in the dark about anything about the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit, those of us who are believers, to teach us, to guide us, to be our strength, and to help us fulfill the mission of the church, to go and to share the gospel with other people. Not to mention all the ministers, the teachers, the missionaries, the authors who put a lot of time in to help us understand. I study all week, and I thank God all the time. God, thank you for the men and women who have put the time in to study the commentaries and the things that I get to look at and the books that I get to read, that I get to study your word so I can go teach somebody else. And I don't even know these people. And I thank the Lord for them. See, a true believer is not to be in the dark about his return. It will come like a thief in the night. So that's number one. Being in the dark, Paul's saying you're not in the light. You're ignorant of what all this means and what all is going to happen. You're thinking you're living just for this world. Number two, to be in the darkness, a true believer is not to live in the darkness of sin. All right, so it's kind of like a double-edged sword there. This means that we as believers are not to get entangled in the way of the world's living, the way that they do things. It's not the way that God calls us. We talk about it, the narrow gate. The one gate's broad, and many people are going to, and it leads to destruction, but the narrow gate leads to life. And it's not easy, but that's what God has called for us. That's our duty as believers, is to follow his way, to take that narrow path, that narrow gate. This means that our minds and our thoughts shouldn't be just wrapped up on the pleasures and the possessions and all the things of this world. It doesn't mean we can't have things. It doesn't mean that we can't go to amusement parks and have fun and have good times and all that. It doesn't mean that. It means that that shouldn't be where your source of hope is. If your source of hope and happiness and all that is in your garage, or it's on a vacation trip, or it's on a big boat, whatever, you're it's never going to last, and you're going to be disappointed. As a believer, we shouldn't be ignorant of God and his ways. We're not to be sneaking around in the darkness of night. We're not to be sneaking around in sin, thinking that we're fooling God or that we're fooling anybody else. We're called out of the darkness and into the light. We talked about having the word of God, but Psalm 119, verse 105 says this. It says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet. Right, anybody ever been stumbling around in the darkness before? Anybody ever done that? All right, when you, the lamp provides light for you. All right, so God gave us his word to put light on your path so you'll stay out of the bad areas, so you'll stay away from the darkness. And lead and light, sorry, for my feet and a light for my path. God is trying to light up our path today, but we got to get into the Word. We're called out of the darkness so we can also be called children of the light. All right, Matthew 5:14, Jesus says this. You are the light of the world. Y'all seen a theme here? Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Jesus wants to make you, God wants to take your life and make it like a city. I remember going out west years ago, and the roads are so flat, and out in Texas and stuff, and you can drive, like, the speed limits are like 70, 80 miles an hour. It's crazy. And you can drive, and you drive, and you drive, and you can see the city ahead. It's probably just a little elevated than that flat road you're on, and I mean, for hours, you see the lights of the city as you're going towards it. And you're like, am I ever going to get there? That's the way your life should be. People should see your light shining. That's what Jesus wants in our light. We can't do that if we're living in the darkness. He says, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Too many Christians are staying hidden today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul says this to the church at Ephesus. He says, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. All right, so then he goes on to, what does he say? He said, so live as people of light. So there's our first duty for today. A believer is not to be in the darkness. The darkness meaning you're ignorant about things of God, but also the darkness of sin and things of the world. That's the devil leaving, by the way. We kicked him out. The door keeps opening up on us. Look at verse 6 and 7 with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, it says this. So be on guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. Number two is this, in our duty for as a believer, is to not be asleep. That's what Paul's telling us. That's what the Lord's telling us. That's what the Word of God says. Now, we've talked about it briefly last week, but as Christians, we're to be awake, we're to be alert, right? I mean, think about it. The Bible tells us to work enthusiastically for the Lord. All right, and what do we? Most of the time, if you're like me, sometimes I have to correct. Lord corrects me all the time, and I'm like, I'll say this. I would do that, but I got to go to church today. Right, no. Okay, I have to come to church today. All right, or I got to do that, but I've promised that I would come volunteer at youth group tonight. So, or I got to just muster up the strength to get down here to Bible study tonight. All right, that's not what the Bible taught. We should be enthusiastic. We should be excited when we come into this place and we go out into the world. We should be, people should see there's a difference in us, that we are excited to be in whatever ministry you're involved with. We're not showing up just because we're obligated to. We're not showing up because we get a paycheck as a pastor. We're showing up because we want to be there. We want to serve. We're excited to serve the one who saved us. We're not to be asleep and lazy and all those different things. Just to be clear this morning, not only does it mean that, but it also means when it talks about sleep right here, the original transcripts, it's talking about a spiritual sleeping. So spiritually, your soul is asleep. You see, church, when we are spiritually asleep, it means that we're not involved with the things of God. We're choosing to just have our eyes closed and to be in the darkness of and just ignore all the things of God. The Bible says that you can't even look at His creation. You can't even look at the sky without proclaiming there is a God. A so-called Christian who is asleep is not looking around to see what God is doing. A Christian who is asleep spiritually is not looking around to see what God wants to do in their life. They're too busy in slumber. They're too busy. It could be the sleepness of just selfishness and say, nope, I've got my blinders on because I want to do Anthony's way and I don't want to do God's way. Therefore, they will be caught off guard when Christ returns. You see, let us be warned this morning, church, this place of being spiritually asleep, it's a dangerous place to be for anybody, but it's a dangerous place for us as believers to be, because sleeping happens in the darkness, and the darkness is where most, not all, but most evil things freely take place in the cover of night. Think about it. If you're going to go out and you're going to party and you're going to get drunk and you're going to do things that you know you shouldn't do morally, you normally do it at night, right? There's a reason why they call the club the nightclub, all right? I've been there before. I know what goes on at a nightclub. And if we're honest, we know. Nightclubs, they are in the cover of the night for a reason. Most people commit crimes in the night hours because they know it's wrong. Did you know one of the best security things that you can have for your business or your home is a floodlight? Did you know a floodlight is recommended over a deadbolt? Because the light exposes the darkness. It gets rid of it. Church, it's a tragic thing when someone calls themselves a Christian, yet they're totally content being spiritually asleep. Not only is it tragic, but I believe this. I believe it's disgusting to God. I believe it's disgusting when we just run through the motions and we're just fully content living for the world and living for ourselves and living in sin, knowing the truth of the gospel, or maybe returning to the sin after we've already repented and turned to God. Why do I say that? Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11 says this. I love the Bible. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. I don't know that there's too many things in this world that are more disgusting than puke. Amen? Somebody right now is going, oh, like just because they're thinking about it. And I'm sorry. But there is nothing more disgusting. It's right there in the Bible. There is nothing more disgusting that will turn your stomach more than vomit. You ever seen your dog return to it and you're like, oh my goodness, why is he doing that? Oh, please. But then on the other hand, you're happy he's cleaning it up so you don't have to clean it up. Maybe I'm just the only one on that. I don't know. But seriously, the thought of a sight of a dog when they eat their own vomit is so nasty that it's turning my stomach. It turns our stomach. It makes our stomach feel a little queasy. Just picturing it, just thinking about it, just thinking about the smell of it. And this is how I believe the Lord feels. When we experience the light, we accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. When He gives us the way out of the mud and the muck and eating with the swine and eating with the pigs, and then we return to it. When He sees us returning to the foolishness that He's already delivered us from. Are we awake, Christians? Church, We are to be awake. We are to be active and involved with the mission of the church. I love how the Holy Spirit works, because the little transition video that we had, if you paid attention to it, it was talking about the mission of the church is to go. We didn't plan that, but God knew we were going to talk about it. We're to be active, we're to stay awake, and we're to watch out for the enemy of our soul. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this: stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. A believer has a duty to not be spiritually asleep. Amen? Amen. Look at verses 8 through 10 with me in our text for today as we continue. He goes on to say this: but let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. It goes on to say this. He says, for God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Verse 10 says this: Christ died for us so that, whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. What's called good news. Amen? Here in these two, in these couple verses, we see the third duty of a believer is to be sober and to protect themselves. Like it or not, the scripture that God gave us for our good tells us very clearly here and in other places that a believer is to be sober and to protect themselves. Warns us all the time, be sober, stay away from the darkness, stay away from all of that. That means that we have to exercise self-control. It means that we have to be alert. It means that we have to be awake and we have to be watchful. We have to choose every day. Remember what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus? We call the armor of God, right? I got to choose every morning. I'm going to get up and I'm going to say, God, I'm going to strap on the belt of truth that you've given me. That I'm a child of God. That I'm a child of the light, not a child of the darkness, right? And then we got to go up and say, oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot my bulletproof vest. Let me put on my breastplate of righteousness. Protect my heart. Let me put on my shoes and my sandals of readiness and peace. Let me be ready to go and do what you want me to do. Let me get the shield of faith so I'm ready. The devil can fire all he wants at me today, but I got my shield. I know where my faith is. I got to put on my helmet of salvation. I'm going to protect my mind. I'm going to protect my thoughts. I'm going to protect young people, especially on your phones, what goes in to your mind, to your ears, to your eyes, but all of us. Protect it. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? What are you looking at? Is it of the darkness or is it in the light? And lastly, we got to get our sword of the Spirit. That's where our strength is. That's where we fight our battles, right there with the Spirit. We can't do it on our own, because Paul told the church in Ephesus, he said, you're not fighting powers of this world. All right? We can't even fight the powers of this world. How do we think we're going to fight the ones in the heavenly realms? We got to choose to put on the armor of God. You see, there's always this great debate within Christians and within the churches. There's pastors and leaders of different churches and Christians who have this great debate. However they determine or interpret the scriptures on how a Christian or if a Christian can consume alcoholic beverages. One thing you cannot deny today is that the scripture plainly tells us that we're not to be drunk. We're not to be drunk. We're to be clear-headed. We're to be sober. Think about it. How can I live a Christian life? How can I stay awake and alert? How can I be aware of what God is doing and wants to do in my life? How can I fulfill God's plan for my life? How can you fulfill what God's plan for you is and what he wants for you to do if we're not sober and clear-headed? Well, I only get drunk on the weekends. Pastor and I... And you're up there preaching to me and like, you know what? Guess what? Been drunk before. Can I confess that to you today? I'm just as human as y'all. I've been drunk before. And if Christ would have returned when I was drunk, do you think I would have been ready? Do you think I would have recognized him speaking to my spirit and saying, Anthony, I've got something for you. I want you to go do this for me. We can't receive it. And we can't understand what God wants us to do. We can't be alert. We can't be ready. We can't properly have our armor ready. And we can't fight our battles when we're not clear-headed. So if life seems like it's beating you down and you seem like this Christian life thing is, you got to question yourself, am I doing my part? Because God will meet you where you are, but he wants to change you. Am I doing my part? Am I putting any effort in to say, no, I'm going to put that bottle down? I don't care if it's a pill bottle. I don't care if it's something you smoke or something you drink. You got to choose to put it down if it's making you not clear-headed. Not because I said so, but because God says so. And God says so because he loves you and he wants the best for you. Now, although Paul doesn't call it the armor of God like he does in Ephesians, he does tell the church to use those same things to protect themselves. He doesn't say you got to do it all on your own. He said that, what he said, there's this breastplate, this armor, this body armor he talks about is the main purpose of the body armor is to guard your main internal organs. And your most important main internal organ is your heart. Anybody knows if you're a hunter and you desire to be very ethical in your hunting, you try your best when you are harvesting a deer or an animal to take the heart shot because you know that is going to make their life end quickly and painfully and painlessly. I heard a preacher one time say this. He said, everything that's living lives from its heart. So the body armor is there. The body armor of faith is there to protect our heart. We got to guard it. Proverbs talks about this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, very, very familiar verse, but we need to listen to it this morning. He says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So how do you guard your heart? You guard your heart by being fully committed to Christ. That's what Christ said. You got to choose one or the other. Are you going to live for the world or are you going to live for me? And you hide behind the breastplate, that body armor of the love that Christ has for you. It's that simple, yet we complicate it. Our hearts to be fully committed to Christ, hiding behind his love. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says this, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loves us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And I love what's in parentheses here. It says this, it's only by God's grace that you have been saved. What is God's grace? God's grace is him giving you something you don't deserve. You see, church, Paul also tells us to put on the helmet of salvation. And I chose Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 because that I got to go back to that a lot of times because that's my helmet. When I'm thinking I'm not good enough to be a pastor, and I think, well, I've fallen short, or maybe the devil's trying to tempt me or whatever, I put that back on. I said, no. God is so rich in mercy, and he loved me so much that even though I was dead, I remember when I was dead because of my sins, he gave me life, and he raised me when he raised Christ from the dead. I didn't earn it. I didn't do anything to deserve it. It's only by God's grace that he did that I've been saved. This means that we got to keep our thoughts focused on our salvation. What is your helmet of salvation? Remembering and guarding and remembering that moment of salvation. If you've experienced that. If you haven't, I pray that you experience that today. Not tomorrow, next week, but today. It's so easy. We are to constantly divert our worldly thoughts back into the thoughts of the Lord and his ways. His eternal nature, his love and his mercy and his grace that he poured upon us. You see, if we're constantly protecting ourselves, thinking about our salvation, we're less likely to desire the things of the world. You know what I've learned? We're less likely to say, I'm going to go out and get drunk tonight. I'm going to go get high today, and I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to get hooked on this and addicted to this, or I'm going to choose not to throw these pills away or this bottle and dump it out or whatever, because I'm going to choose to focus on the eternals. I'm going to focus on the grace of God. I'm going to see the cross, and I'm going to look at what my sin cost heaven. If we choose to put our armor on every day, we're basically saying this. I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to my addictions. I'm no longer a slave to my pride, to my lustful desires. We are to guard our hearts. We're to remember our salvation, what it really means. And we'll proclaim it. Every day we wake up, we say, I am a child of God. I'm a child of the light, not a child of the darkness. As believers, we have a duty, church, to be sober and to protect ourselves. Whether you can ever have a glass of wine or cold beer, that's between you and the Lord. I don't think that's my right to tell you. You got to talk to God about that and see what he says and what he convicts your heart about. Because everybody's story is different. But I'm telling you right here, the Word of God tells us plainly, that especially us as believers, But the world, he says all of it. We have a duty to stay sober and to protect ourselves. Look at me at verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says this. So encourage each other, build each other up, just as you are already doing. Here's the fourth and final duty for a believer that we see in our text today that we're supposed to be doing until Christ returns. Number four is this. A believer's duty is to minister by edifying others. All right, now I'm going to keep this point right here short and sweet. It's really just as long as the others. I just say that to get your attention back because I know you're checking out on me. But I just said that we've been talking about all these things, but here is something we need to hear. Here is something that we as believers, as the church, we have to understand and receive today. Think about it. Every Christian is called into the ministry the moment they begin to follow Jesus. All right, somebody wasn't listening, somebody didn't receive that, so we're going to say it again. Every believer is called into ministry the moment they begin to follow Christ. This is a room full of ministers right here. I just happen to be the one up on the stage who gets to preach and remind you of that. Think about it. Not only did God send Christ to die so we could live and we could be forgiven, not only did Christ defeat the grave so we could also overcome death and we could live with him for eternity, but he also sent us what, church? He sent us an advocate. What does advocate mean? He sent us a helper while we're here on this earth. Now, why in the world would he send us a helper? Why would he send us an advocate if he didn't have a work for you to do? It wasn't just so you could feel all warm and cozy all the way through this life as you just, you know, church membership and take up your spot and come to church on Sundays and go live for the world. That's not what it's for. You may not be called to pastor a church. You may not be called to write a Christian book. You may not be called to go overseas and minister to people and share the gospel. You might not have the gift of evangelism, and you might not ever teach the word of God in a formal church service. But you are called to be the light of the world. We read that. We're to be ministers wherever we are. The Bible says work willingly whatever you do, as if you're working for the Lord and not for people. In the verse we just read, Paul says that we should be encouraging others. If you say, well, I can't do anything, I don't have any spiritual gifts. Number one, that's a lie from hell. But number two, you just haven't discovered it yet, and you can at least walk up and give somebody a hug and encourage them. You can pray for somebody. You can come up to somebody and pray with them. You can share a little piece of light and scripture with somebody and say, you know what? You see somebody down today, I just want to tell you that I appreciate you and I love you. They think you're weird, that's fine, but you did what you were supposed to do. We're called to build others up. We're called to keep them, not ourselves also, but he says to keep them, to stay awake. Maybe to wake up spiritually for the first time. That's what your job is. Maybe we're also called to help others stay protected, to help those who struggle with addictions and to get into sobriety, to be alert, protect ourselves. But we really can't fulfill any. That's what I was just thinking about. We really can't fulfill any of the, we can't fulfill this duty if we don't fulfill the other three first, right? We got to take care of ourselves before we can do anything. So as we close today, I want us to ask questions to ourselves as we reflect upon what we have read. Go back through those duties of a believer and say, what is it that I need to do? Number one is this. Are you in the dark? Now remember, this could mean, have you ever placed your faith in Christ to begin with? Have you ever come to that place where you realize, I am a sinner in need of a Savior? I can't save myself. I've tried that, and it doesn't work. I've got this hole in my heart. I'm missing something, and I'm just not sure if I've really ever put my faith in Christ. Or maybe you know you haven't done it. But it could also mean that you've already believed in Christ, but you've returned to your vomit. I'm the only one that does that every now and then. Number two, are you spiritually awake this morning? Or have you fallen off into sleep? Have you ever been awakened spiritually? Meaning you've accepted God's gift of salvation by putting your faith in Christ to forgive your sins. Or maybe you've already become a Christian, on the flip side of that again, but you've fallen asleep for a little while. You've fallen away. You've fallen asleep spiritually. Number three, are you protecting yourself? Or are you just going out here half-cocked and just hoping that everything will work out for you and the devil's not going to, you know, maybe the devil won't mess with me today? Are you protecting yourself by staying sober and alert? Are you relying on God's love to protect your heart? Are you going constantly back to God's faithfulness and how he loves you and his mercy and his grace to protect your heart? And are you keeping your thoughts and your attitude and reminding yourself daily of what Jesus did for you on the cross? Sometimes you got to go back. We're not to go back and live the way that we used to live, but sometimes you got to go back and look in hindsight and say, man, I remember where I was. And look where God has brought me. Whether it's 2 steps or 15 miles that he's brought you, you can look back and you say, man, I'm not there anymore. God is doing a work in my life. We got to put on our helmet of salvation. Number 4, lastly, are you edifying others? Are you sharing the light that you have with other people? That's what the light is for. Doing things for God that require the help of the Holy Spirit. So are you doing things in your life that normally would be impossible for you to do if you didn't have the help of the Holy Spirit? That's a real question, because why would he send the Holy Spirit if he didn't have impossible things for us to accomplish that we could only do by saying, I can't do this on my own. I did this because God's Spirit was in me, and he did it, and he laid it on my heart to do it. He gave me the power to do it, and so now I can say, I give God all the glory for what he did through me. If there's something that we've read today, something we've studied today or talked about is convicting your heart, I want to encourage you this morning that that is good news. What do I mean by convicting your heart? Only way I can describe it is your heart is just kind of crushed right now, and you're thinking about something in your life that we've spoken about today, that we read in the Word, or that God has revealed. That's his Spirit convicting your heart. And that's good news. That means that God has better things for you. That's his calling. That's him saying, Anthony, I've got something for you. That's him opening up the door and saying, would you just walk through this and trust me? All you have to do is surrender to him today. Trust him. Put on the armor of his love and the helmet of his salvation and say, I am a child of God. No longer a slave, I'm a child of God. Step into the light, and I promise you, from my experience, I can tell you that God will help you fulfill these duties that he gives you. He does it in my life, he's done it in my life, and he'll do it in yours. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. And Father, we do thank you again for your word. We thank you for your grace. Lord, that we can't earn, that we can't build up points to receive it, because you already gave it on the cross. Lord, you gave us salvation. You gave yourself on the cross to show us how awful our rebellion and our sin and how ugly and nasty it is to you. It's like vomit. But Lord, you also gave it to us as a way out, to get out of the nastiness and to put our faith in Christ and to turn to you. Lord, it's that simple. Lord, if there's anybody here today that's been taught anything other than that, Lord, I pray that the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ will be revealed to them today, that all they have to do is talk to you right now. They don't need a priest, a pastor, anybody else. They can just say, God, I'm ready to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. I can't attain it on my own. I need you to come in and save and transform me. I want your Spirit to guide me. I want to get into your word, and I want to start following you. And I want to be transformed from a child of the dark into the child of light. I want to find your purpose for my life. I want to find why you really created me. I want to be with you for all eternity. It's that simple. You just want us to talk to you and to surrender to you and to answer whatever call that you put on our heart today. And so, Lord, I pray that we would do that. We would do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible, and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.